Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports Team. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. Happy Friday to everybody out there getting ready to enjoy this weekend. They say, you know, it was funny. You know, I was working earlier today. They said this is the international, I repeat it, so I hope people are ready for this one. I usually think like New Year's Eve, New Year's Day would be this, but today, May 20th, is the International Drinking Day. So everybody at my job was going crazy, like, I can't wait to get off work and get drunk. I'm like, whoa, 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 y'all slow down. I got a show to do. So I'm at the round table, and I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome back to the round table. Let's go.
Honor, trust, respect, devotion, friendship, loyalty, karma, king, us, rock, solid, easy, with no union and no benefits, no dental plans, I can't eat off no 100 grams. I got cavities that need filling. You can't feed a nigga peanut shoes. Now put your feet up in the nigga's shoes. A lack of green and give a nigga blues. A sip of purple make a nigga rule. Make a drunk person speak the cover tune. Fuck that, I can't do it, man. We make these chips off this dip that we curse with, but then my mind drifts. Am I defeating the purpose? Cause you feel like shit when you miss your son first shit. But who gon' pay the bills? A lot of mills, no surplus. My baby mama give me drama on the daily, like she's making it barely, and my kids is eating rarely, man. I'm stressed out, gon' do it, I can't do it. If you put puppies in the oven, do that make them biscuits? Put hungry dogs in the kitchen, will they eat the kittens? Do you hear me or you listen? It's a big difference. Do you catch the lines of the hook, or is you still fish? These a couple questions that I need to be answered. Like, is these backwoods and weed giving me cancer?
Whoa. I almost didn't start the show because I love Sieg. They know I love Sieg. The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with the chefs, man. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with Sports City, man. I'm feeling some type of way. You know, it's been, you know, a great week of sports. We got a great weekend ahead of us. A lot of stuff to entertain the spirit, the soul, the mind. Wherever it is, if it's on the diamond, if it's on the hardwood, if it's on the ice, this is one of the second most, you know, best times of the year. I mean, you know, I'm a December boy, so I'm biased. I'm biased by December, but right now, month of April and May, June come around, I'm ready to go. So I've got these guys here with me. They already know what they need to do. They chef stuff is already set, ready to put this stuff around the table, calling in by way of the state of Arizona. I have Mr. Silver in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling pretty good. Got my drinking ready, and let's go.
Uh-oh. So I already got one on hand. Look, Sports City, I just said it because I just found this out today. Now, the people that know me, they know I ain't the biggest drinker because they seen Ty Hurt plenty of times. So that's why I try my best. But they like, keep giving them drinks because he's fun. Keep getting them drunk. Like, they like it because I got better jokes when I get nice. So that's why I'm like, I stay away from the alcohol, man. I try my best, but they find me somehow, somewhere. But I'm telling on myself. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, we have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. Sitting here getting ready to watch the Nationals and Marlins. It seems like for the 15th millionth time this season.
hey, that should be a good thing, no? You don't want to play the Marlins? Was that a problem?
I just like to play somebody else besides the Marlins. It seems like we played them for, I know, at least, this has got to at least be the third or fourth series with them already. But, hey,
well,
I'm happy. We went to New York and took 2 out of 3. I'm happy.
If you're in the same division, more than likely you played these teams 21 times apiece. 21. So even if it's 4 and you play them 3 times, you still got 9 games for ahead of the season with them. So buckle up. You will still see more. Okay. So I have both of them here. As y'all knew, the past day or so, my brother Tommy B wasn't feeling well. I told him to get right before he got in here. He's like, "Ah, I'm all right. Let me." I'm like, nope, you're not coming in here like that." So Sports City, he's back. I got Tommy B back in here, and as you guys know, if y'all was listening, Nacho got the kitchen pretty hot last night. Not me. I was all right. I was pretty good, man. So I got one that y'all gotta like give a little leeway. I need y'all to leave Tommy alone a little bit. Let him wake up and turn into the beast that he is, and just back away from Mr. Silver right now, because I don't know what Mr. Silver we're expecting. But we got a lot in front of us right now. At least myself. But like I said, I like to let these guys start putting dishes out first. I'm gonna get Tommy in here first. Thoughts anywhere you like to go, put a dish out there on the round table. Tommy B, do we still have you?
Sorry, I was pulling a nacho. I was talking on mute. Since I don't really care, give a rat's ass about the NBA right now, because it's fixed, the finals are set, I'm sorry. I'm going to talk about some baseball in some of these divisions that some have shocked me, some and not so much. Let's see some of these places. Let's see what plays out. I'll start in the AL East, where you got the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox tied. And we all remember how Baltimore started out so hot. Well, I believe 7-8, 9-0, runaway vice, said they were run away from the division. Well, they're tied. They are the only two teams in this division that's 500. Tampa, third place, 4.5 games out, 19-19. Your division champs from last year, Toronto Blue Jays, 20-23, 6 games out. The mighty New York overpaid Yankees, 18-22, last place, 6.5 games out. This division is one division that has shocked me. I've really thought this would be a fight through the end. Now, of course, this is only May, the middle, almost the end of May. But it's a shocker to me that, I mean, Tampa was third place. I figured by now they'd be in last. Toronto, 6 games out. 3 games under 500, and then the Yankees are where they're at. I really thought this division would be closer. Now, could it get closer? Yeah. I mean, Toronto's problem this year is the bullpen's hurting them. They're not hitting like they used to. I mean, Bautista's not hitting like he is. But that's fine with me. Tulwiski's not on fire, not hitting. So, I mean, what are your all's feelings about this division? I mean, is it Baltimore and Boston's to lose? Or is there another team in this division that could catch fire?
Okay, I'll go first on this situation. Tampa was actually surprising me being in the middle of the pack, because I thought that they'd actually be a team trying to cling and stay within talks in the division, which they're doing just fine, not too far back from the Orioles, in which I can admit I was one of the people that seen the Orioles playing good baseball, and it's not like they've actually fallen off that bad. I mean, they're still considerably the best team in they are the best team in the American League East right now. Boston, I really feel like they are playing with that, let's lead Poppy out, in the best way that we possibly can. Type of baseball, because Poppy, let's be honest, as much as I respect and love Manny Ramirez while he was at the plate, I think that they follow behind both of these guys, all three of them, including Pedro, in that situation of, making that run to the World Series and making it happen and getting past that 86, 80-some-odd year curse that they had, and Poppy was instrumental to that. So I think that this team is building off of trying to send Poppy off the right way. Now, I don't know if they're a World Series or bust mentality situation right now, but I think this is something that the Red Sox definitely have within their spirits. Now, the Blue Jays is the team that actually surprises me the most. This Blue Jay team had one of the best offenses last year that was going on in the Major League. Not just in the American League, in the Major League, they were asking everybody that came to the plate could do damage at the plate. Right now, you're not getting much from Bautista. You're not getting much from Donaldson as well. And Tulowitzki, I still feel like they can actually get back into the hunt. It's not that far. I mean, they're 3 games under .500, 6 back. I still think that they can make things happen. But where they are right now, including the Yankees in this conversation, is definitely questionable. Like Tommy hit on, all of the money that's being thrown around in New York with the Yankees right now, you would expect them to have a better product. But the easier thing that you could see with the Yankee team is their pitching staff. Their pitching staff is giving up, and it's a minimal amount of runs, you know, to say the least. And who would have thought that Yankees would be under 500, especially going into the month of May? When they go into the month of May, they're playing decent. Once they get to the month of June, when everybody really starts coming out to Yankee Stadium, that's when they start playing that fire baseball. And right before the All-Star break is when they start coming around. Right now, this is really what you see is what you get baseball with the Yankees. As much star power they may have, big name quality, so on and so forth, they are not getting the job done, and which could potentially be one of the last seasons that we see A-Rod, which they're saying next year to be the last season. I don't know, but, you know, going from top to bottom, as we've seen it, I definitely think that this is an interesting race, to say the least, getting through the first month and a half. That's right. We're actually past the halfway mark of the month of May. So this is close to being 2 months done. Nacho, your thoughts on what's going on in the AL East?
This is a division that I was with one of those people that Tommy was talking about. Baltimore starting hot. Having no faith in the rest of the division to have a stranglehold or really get super hot and compete with Baltimore. I thought Baltimore would ride their white horse on into the sunset and run away with the division. Them falling down to earth and then slowing down, letting Boston catch up to them, letting a team like Tampa Bay, who's playing middle of the road for almost any division in the major league, you put their record in any division, they're about 3. In almost every single division. So they're playing at about where they should be, a mediocre level, nothing too crazy, but not very bad. I think Tampa Bay is right where they should be, but because of Boston and because of Baltimore not playing at the heights or what Baltimore started out playing, they've fallen down and given a team in Tampa Bay who should be somewhere with the Yankees 6.5 games out. Now they're only 4, 4.5, so, you know, and possibly 3.5 after today and tomorrow. So who knows what could happen, you know, from now until Monday. But, yeah, this is a division that I thought when the baseball season started, from what I had read from last year and going into this year, and then the way that Baltimore got rolling, they were one of the few teams at the beginning of the year that had very few losses. They only had one or two when Chicago only had one or two. They were rolling. They would look to be unstoppable. And then for whatever reason, change of seasons, change of, you know, venues or change of whatever, you know, diets, however you want to look at it, they've slowed down and let Boston catch up. I anticipate Tampa Bay to stay kind of where they are. I anticipate Toronto maybe to surpass Tampa Bay or stay quite even with them. You know, I don't feel good about that team in general, even though they are the defending division champions. And the Yankees are who the Yankees are. To me, they're trying to win with home runs, and they just can't do it. They just don't have the firepower, and they don't have the pitching to back up anything. So they're about where they should be, as I anticipated coming into the year. This is a division that, albeit for one team faltering or whatever the cause of it is, falling back, now it's an actual race between a couple teams.
Oh, Okay, Tommy, another division or anything that we've said that you'd like to address, whether it's first place or last place within the AL East, anything that you'd like to address, whether in that division or another division?
Yeah, Alex Rodriguez is retiring after this year, by the way. And
so
Baltimore,
it is this season.
Yes. Baltimore's problem is the AL West. They were on that winning streak, undefeated, and they went to Texas. They got lost that series. I believe they lost this series against Seattle this past week. This past, before they played, they left in Baltimore and went to Anaheim. Anaheim's another one of them teams. If you look down at the schedule, they are 19-22. They are 4.5 out of the West. That shocks me. With all that money they spent out there in everything, I'm going to get to that division here in a little bit. I want to go to the best. If you go by the records from every division, overall division, every team except one is in above 500. And the depends how this series goes in Miami tonight that I just spoke of. The Nationals could possibly go from first place down to third place after this weekend. Every team except the Atlanta Braves are above 500. No other division in baseball is like that. I want to get to the Atlanta Braves, the way they fired Gonzalez, because that's just bullshit and that's just gutless. For him to find out by email that he had a plane ticket, you could go to his face and tell him or pull him to the side. I'm going to get to that here very soon. But this division, Miami's playing well. They always play against the Nationals well. That's what worries me this weekend. The Mets are good. I mean, they didn't look – their pitching is what's hurting them. Matt Harvey did not look like no Black Knight or Dark Knight or whatever they got out there for him. Philadelphia is a shocker to me. They are one game behind the Nationals. This division could possibly go down. Now, this, in my opinion, this division will go Washington or the Mets. The other team will get the other wild card. I think Miami, they'll finish just above 500, but I don't think they'll have, when more in the season goes along, they'll come back to earth. Same with Philadelphia. I do not think Philadelphia is going to do what they're doing. Hey, they're a success story. Congratulations. They're a young ball club. They are going to be there. I'll give them next year. They're going to be playing with the Nationals and the Mets a full season. I don't see it this year. You're also on this division.
Nacho, you want to go first on this one in the NL East, or I could go?
Go ahead, Ty. Go first.
Okay. See, now it's difficult for me in the NL East because, one, Tommy's here. So I feel a certain way about how the Nationals are doing their thing, especially
Dusty
this
Baker session. Is the best thing for us.
Hold on. I don't cut you off. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? You ask me my thoughts, and this is what you do, right? As soon as I start talking. Anyway.
I just wanted to say, get that out there. Dusty Baker's the best fit for us.
Okay, you could have did that when you were talking. I never thought of that until now.
They showed him on TV.
Can I go? You finish. Go ahead. I'll let you finish, and then I'll speak after you. I won't interrupt anything no more. I'll chill out.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Now, first and foremost, me and Tommy always talk off here that this is my doggone blood brother, and y'all know why, hurricane rooted. But, you know, when we talk baseball, and he'll talk about his team, you know, and it's something about eras. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially where we come from, where you don't want to see people pass the torch. Like my father would always tell me, well, Michael Jordan couldn't do nothing with Dr. J. Dr. J was better than Mike. I'm like, you're crazy. Like, there's no way Dr. J can mess with Mike. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, me and Tommy have our discussions, and Tommy be like, Bryce, the next one. Bryce can do this. Bryce can do that. Now, I'll admit to him, Bryce is a hustler. You can't throw a complete strike down the plate without Bryce tagging you. You will pay. But it's like something about Bryce where I won't give the torch up like I did for Griffey or like I did for Bonds. Like seeing Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. was just great baseball that I've seen being played. But it ain't like these dudes to come back out here and lace their cleats up. These dudes are in their 40s. I have to go with the stars that are carrying the game right now. So watching what the Nationals are able to do, they're only up a game. Just like Tommy said, this isn't comfortable water, but they're floating right now. They're floating. In their rear view, out of any team, I will admit this on Air Sports City, and as of now, for the month of May, I will apologize because you cannot judge a book by its cover. But the Philadelphia Phillies are in their rearview mirror right now playing great baseball at home and on the road. Even on the road, they are successful right now. So the Phillies, I tip my hat for what you are able to do now. But one question I do have is consistency, longevity. You know what I'm saying? Like, how long could you guys consistently do this? You know, the Mets, let me just tell you, I mean, that was a tough situation for the Washington Nationals come in City Field. I was going to say Shea. Come into City Field and watch Murphy actually do damage to you. As much, you know, crap that people talked about Murphy while the postseason was wrapping up and he couldn't really come up big for him in the World Series. Well, he's doing work for the Nationals now. That's a big move. But still, yeah, the Mets are above 500 in third place and still can make things happen if the fourth place team, just like Tommy alluded to in the Marlins, actually, if they're able to pull up a sweep, the Nationals would be in third, but Miami would basically be a half a game behind them. Now, I'm in the same boat as the Atlanta Braves, so I can't talk any junk about the Braves right now. I just hope one of us starts to swim. Somebody has to swim, being the Braves and the team that I follow. But other than the Braves in this division, Tommy is correct. Everybody's playing winning baseball, happy with what they're able to do right now. And any team that plays any of the four, whether it's the Nationals, the Marlins, the Mets, or the Phillies, you have a good game on your hands right now. You definitely do. Nacho, I'll throw it to you if you're ready.
Yeah, to me, this is it's early, and I do enjoy, I understand Tommy's because the fact that four of the five are above 500, but you got a couple divisions. You know, one in particular that from 1 to 5, even though we just talked about how poor the AL East is, from 1 to 5, it's 6.5 games. You know, and then again, the NL West from 1 to 5, it's 7.5. So, I mean, yeah, four of them are good, but the whole division isn't competitive when it pertains to having a shot at the division title. We all see right now that the Atlanta Braves are just not even at all good. And to me, this is, again, why I call it so early, is because Tommy has complained now about two separate teams, the Atlanta Braves early on in the year, and now the Marlins that he's played so much of, and they're kind of dominating those two teams. Now you're playing your own division, and you're playing the teams that are you're better than, but that can give you a little struggle. So I think that's what right now in each division we're seeing where – The bottom one or two or one in some cases is falling flat. The Atlantas of the world, the Minnesotas of the world, those teams are falling flat. Cincinnati's, those guys are 14 games, 14 and a half, and falling steadily back away, while the other ones are steady around 6.5, 5 games, and they're catching up or they're staying in contention. Like you said, Tommy, over the weekend, you can see a swing from 1 to 3 in this division. I think every right now, most divisions are competitive from 1 to 4. There's a couple that I think are pretty competitive, 1 to 5. Early right now for me to say one division is really killing it, but I really can't argue with the fact that 4 out of the 5 are above 500, and they're all playing good ball. But again, you got to count on the fact they're playing each other a lot, and it's early right now. Once we get into more games, interleague play, things of that nature, we get halfway through the season, we'll see probably a definite split. Then I can give it a stern. This division seems to be one of the best in the major leagues for 2016.
The Nationals up 1-0. Bryce Zimmer is just homered.
Okay, Tommy, if you want to speak now more on the division or your team, you can do so without any interruption.
Yeah. Right now, I just like to thank the general manager, the front office of the New York Mets for not wanting or thinking that Daniel Murphy wasn't any good. Because you know what? We'll take him. He helps us beat you. In my book, he's the early MVP candidate. He's hitting over 400. So thank you, New York Mets. So, if there's any New York Mets fans listening and you don't win the division, and it's because of Daniel Murphy, there ain't nobody else to blame but your front office, because you all had one hell of a ball player and you let him walk. So you can gradually go up to the front office and beat on their door.
Yeah, but I think the true thing that they were looking at is how he actually closed out the season. And it's tough that they judge or measure somebody in that manner, in front of a postseason where he wasn't successful. He had a lot of errors defensively. I think that's what they were looking at and thinking, hey, if we want to get over the hump, we got to move him. I agree with you. I don't think that they should have moved him. This is something that we would be on air. Me and Chandler would go back and forth about the situation with Murphy. And now it is biting him in the tail, in this certain situation. So I want to see if those, latter part of the season demons don't poke their head and start to mess with Murphy right now. But if just like Tommy said, if they start to see issues at the second base hole, or if they're not getting production offensively from the second baseman, then that's where the issue may lie. But I don't want to put this or pin this to one player or the front office, because we've seen teams have to make moves or make moves and teams survive the storm. I'm not saying that was a great move, but somehow, some way, they have to get this thing figured out.
Two nothing Nationals.
Okay. Anything else from at least the NL East, or would you like to move to another division?
I don't know. You all want to talk about that? In my book, three-team race in the West. Because I'm sorry, I know Nacho says any of the five can win it. There's no way. Arizona's done. San Diego's done. But I'm telling you right now, them Rockies have shocked me. The Rockies are playing, yeah, they're 20-20. But that Trevor Story, where in the world did this boy come from?
I don't know.
I mean, they had Walt Weiss on that high heat on MLB Network with Russo. And they asked him, he goes, what are you going to do with Story when Jose Reyes comes back? And he goes, we'll figure it out, but Story's my shortstop. You're damn right he's your shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
I really think Colorado needs to trade Reyes. Where are you playing him? He's not an outfielder. Why would you take your guy, your starting second baseman, and moving to second? So where are you putting him? Colorado is a shocker for me. I did not see this for Colorado at all. I still think San Francisco wins this division. I really do. And they're the only team in this division that makes the playoffs. I think the Cubs win the Central, and I think Pittsburgh or St. Louis gets the other wild card. They get one wild card, one of them two teams, because I think Washington or New York wins the East. That other team that don't win the East gets the other wild card.
Okay, Nacho, this is your division. Your thoughts on the NL West? Do you agree with Tommy for the teams that may not turn things around this season? Do you agree that there will only be one team in the division that actually makes a push at the postseason? Your thoughts?
I mean, right now, less than 50 games into the season, it does look like, you know, if we slice the pie up now, it's shaping out the way Tommy's saying. But, you know, with over 110 games left in the season, right now, with you know, 1 through 5 being separated by 7.5 games and every team playing each other well, we just saw Arizona going to San Francisco and sweep them. San Francisco come to Arizona and get sweeped. We've seen Colorado get sweeped in Colorado by Arizona and vice versa. The same with L.A. and splitting games, and it's pretty much even, Steven, right now when it comes to these teams playing each other, whether it's at home or away. So I think it's going to have to play out more as these teams play other divisions and other teams outside of the NL West. Whoever can fare better against other competition, I think, is going to be the ones that we'll see come up behind. Because right now, I'm looking at, you know, we I don't really count San Diego out, but if you bring the top four in, all four of those guys are split against each other, or not about, you know, one game or two games above or below 500 with each other. They've played each other very well and very evenly so far throughout the season. Like I said, it's only 50 games, and we have to see how they play other ones. It's one of those things that, you know, if the Diamondbacks pitching does come around fully from the first day pitcher to the fourth day pitcher, then that'll come together. The hitting needs to be resolved, and Peralta needs to get healthy. So, you know, there's a couple things on a couple other teams as well, injuries that are snagging a couple teams that, to me, this is still wide open. Again, we can all count out San Diego. I feel they've been catching a couple lucky breaks, you know, with some games against some certain teams. But right now, 1 through 5, to me, has a shot, but this early, everyone does. So, you know, I still give everyone 1 through 4 a decent shot. So, I mean, and we still haven't seen L.A. get hot and go on a run or anything of that nature. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes up over the next, you know, at least until All-Star Weekend.
Okay. Tommy, anything else that you'd like to address? The faith that you have in San Francisco to get it done, I mean, while they are healthy, are the team in front, team to beat? Can the Padres turn this around with the team that they have? I mean, out of the gate, they started out decent. Now they went back to that cellar. Or do we have a surprise in the likes of Colorado, who I actually admit again, we're thinking that they finish at the bottom of the division. They not only have guys that are coming to the plate and making contact, their pitching staff is actually stopping guys. So they've been able to get it out of Colorado one way or another before we get away from it, Tommy.
No, I just really think this is a three-team race with San Francisco, L.A., and Colorado. I mean, not to sit there and say they swept San Francisco. Yeah, but you're still 6 games out. I mean, San Francisco, they haven't hit their strides yet. I'm telling you, with that pitching that they've got, wow. Peavy's not the same Peavy. He's nowhere near the same guy that was in even Boston. I mean, nobody's as good. I mean, he came in with San Diego. It was unbelievable. He's not even the same guy playing at Boston. I mean, their pitching, I'm sorry, it's unbelievable. And I think they could possibly run away with this division.
Fair enough. Okay, so, Nacho, I know there were a few dishes that you would like to touch on before we started to send more stuff around the kitchen. Your thoughts on what you brought to the kitchen for the roundtable?
Yeah, sticking with the baseball topic, we got two pitchers here I want to bring to the forefront, to bring up front and talk about. One playing in the New York Mets, and Matt Harvey, who's 3-6 with an ERA of 5.77. The other, my pitcher, Zach Greinke, who's 4-3 with an ERA of 5.08. Both these guys having disappointing seasons, considering what they're coming off of and how they've played over the past couple years. One, who is the bigger disappointment? And two, who can turn it around and help either team, get some more victories and have stride for the rest of the season going on? Or are both these pitchers hit a wall, or what the golf players call the yips, where this season might be a wash? Again, Zach Greinke, the big signing, coming to Arizona. They thought to have an actual ace pitcher come in, and if he was pitching the way he's been paid to, who knows what their record could be. Along with Matt Harvey in New York, gone through and achieved already. Could you imagine if Matt Harvey is, instead of 3-6, he's 8-1 or 7-2, with a 2-point-something ERA or a 1-point-something ERA, and he's pitching lights out and they're winning. Who can imagine this Mets team could be on a big roll right now. Vice versa, so could this Diamondbacks team. Again, the first question is this, which one can turn it around and which one is really the bigger disappointment?
Tommy, I'll let you go to it first.
The bigger disappointment, I'll answer that, Zach Greinke. Because I'll tell you why. He went out, could have stayed in L.A., finished that contract out that he had. He had a good pitching staff there. Had Kershaw, Greinke, Aru, on and on. Matt Harvey, I'm going to tell you right now, Matt Harvey's problem was last year. They should have shut him down like the Nationals did in 2012 with Steven Strasburg when he came back from that Tommy John surgery. But they didn't. They pitched him, Matt Harvey. He came back from that Tommy John surgery, and that's his problem. I watched him play last night against his Nationals team. That's not the same Matt Harvey. He doesn't have the velocity. He's at least 2-3 miles per hour slower than what he was. It's Greinke's the biggest disappointment. Now, I think they both are turning around, but Harvey's issue was from last year. That season went to the playoffs. They went to the World Series. He didn't get the rest. You get, 2-3 months off? Maybe 4-5, whatever. I'm not sure what it is. World Series is in October. You get November, January, or so you get November, December, January. So you get 3 months off. But then you go in spring training, pitchers and catchers report in February. He only had 3 months to rest that shoulder, elbow for Tommy John. They should have shut him down. The bigger disappointment, in my opinion, is Greinke. And I think a lot of his problem is that Arizona pitching in that ballpark. I really do.
Well, okay. We can't keep it rolling. We can stay right there. That's up to y'all. We got an interesting amount of time. I want to see how you guys feel. If anything else is supposed to be thrown out there that we may have missed, Nacho, I'll let you open that one back up. If not, then we'll move where we need to go.
No, we can go ahead.
Okay. I know I was talking to both of these guys in the green room. Both of them said the Toronto Raptors have a chance at winning this series, both of them. So I wanted them to get
they
on
did.
Air.
I didn't even get in the green room. So nice
look,
try.
Wait, can I finish talking? I don't cut you off. Why do they do this to me, man? Why do they do this to me? I try to bring some light. I try to bring some humor, and I get cut off in the middle of my joke. Like, try to get a punchline. I was going to get the round of applause. It's like I have to be so literal. I can't even crack a joke on these guys. Okay, so both of them in which were in the green room, and both of them said, no, I'm not even going to joke no more because now the joke is corny because Tommy wants to mess it up. So Tommy messed it up, so screw my joke. But now, I do want to pose this question outside of the joke because I was going to throw the joke and then throw the question. So now I just get to throw the damn question because Mr. Beard just wants to mess
well,
things
I
up.
Well, I am sorry, Mr. Powell.
Excuse me. Can I finish, please? I'm going to come to you first. I'm going to let you do what you need to do, okay? I'm going to come to you first. Do you guys believe the Toronto Raptors have a game in them in this series, or is this a third straight sweep? Now, mind you, here goes, and I don't know if they're doing this perfectly, and God forgive me if I sound tasteless or being wrong. Do you know the Toronto airport is holding the Cavaliers at customs right now? Right now, as we speak, the Cleveland Cavaliers are in customs. Do you think this is a countrywide situation, the city of Toronto using some desperate measures to, I guess, keep these guys stiff or keep them on the tarmac? I'm being funny, but is it serious? It is serious that they are stuck at customs. The whole Cavaliers are stuck. And who knows the melee, but this is what's going on right now as we speak. They are stuck in customs. But I want to see how you guys feel about this Raptors team. I mean, they played well enough to get to an Eastern Conference final. And now every game that they've played up against this Cleveland Cavalier team, I mean, they do not look like they belong on the floor. They do not. Tommy, I'll come to you first.
This series is over. Unless the NBA decides they want to send some crew out there that can give Toronto one game so they can make more money, have at least one more game, they can make at least some more money. This series is over. We all know it. That's why the NBA made sure Miami didn't get there so they could have LeBron in the finals and then make more money and hoopla and more storylines. This is fixed. I would not be shocked at all if Cleveland won the whole thing.
Okay, well, there you have it. Mr. Silver, your thoughts on the Eastern Conference final right now? Can Toronto turn it up and get a game, at least a game three or game four? If not, they are swept. Your thoughts?
I mean, I love Tommy's conspiracy theory, and I do. See, the thing is I thought of one as well, but it didn't play out. And then to me, mine seemed to be worth more money to the NBA, because what creates more money than a South Beach, Cleveland, Ohio? I know Cleveland doesn't make a lot of money. Ohio doesn't make a lot of money. It's not a big city like South Beach. But LeBron versus South Beach back and forth in America, you know, or, you know, we have to go to Toronto and deal with, you know, customs and yada, yada, yada. I think to me, the more money would have been in the Dwayne Wade versus LeBron James best friends championship. You know, teammates now trying to get to the championship. To me, that conspiracy makes more sense. I get where Tommy's coming from, though. This is an easier path. With Valanciunas being questionable, I just think that also with the Heat, it would have been an easy path as well. I mean, you got Whiteside day-to-day. He wasn't really doing exactly what he was supposed to. Dang didn't show up, you know. Joe Johnson didn't show up. Dragic was here or there. He was good a game, not good a game. He showed up. He didn't show up. Dwayne Wade showed up for a couple games, but I think if they would have been able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, it still would have been, you know, maybe a five, possibly a six-game series, you know, with Miami winning two at home just because, you know. But I don't think that either game or either series would have been a walkthrough or not would have been hard or a seven game stretch, and and push LeBron and a healthy Cavaliers team to 7 games. With that being said, I think that 1 game in Toronto can go Toronto's way. Their shots can fall. They can see the basket. It may be bigger. The crowd on their side. I never discount when you have something similar to an entire country. Not only do you have, you know, I don't know the number, we'll call it 20,000 inside, you've got 15 more thousand outside watching on a big screen. You've just got so much behind you in support. I think one game can be won in Toronto. I'm calling it a sweep, but I do believe that one game can be won if everyone goes off. You have every single, what would it be? I'm thinking of the word intangible. If you've got every intangible going your way in Toronto at home and it's just, you know, lights out, then, yeah, I think they can pull one out, you know, yada, yada. But to me, it's the sweep. I think Cleveland wins. I think not only does this customs thing irritate, but it annoys the Cleveland Cavaliers and wants to not have to come back knowing that there's a plane with Toronto heading back with them to Cleveland.
Okay. I definitely agree with the panel. I don't know what Cleveland could do to slow this team down. I don't know what it is. Do you force him to the paint so you could get LeBron to have 8-for-8 shooting? He shot one of his furthest shots at that point in time, 1 foot and 6 inches away. That was the furthest shot that he took. Now, you mean to tell me the video that you guys watched on this team, they made over 73-point field goals. You guys don't want to defend the perimeter, and you don't want to defend in the paint. Well, you give the jerseys up, walk off the field. That's right. That's how I feel. You guys aren't going to put up any fight to get out of here. It is not worth it to the players that are in the back, hoping they get their break, so on and so forth. I think as much as I don't want to discredit them, Coach Casey is misutilizing a lot of the players on that team. Casey may mess around and lose his job after this run. So there's a lot of things to look at outside of this. However, they are strong enough to get it done, but the injuries that they suffered, it is a part of the game. But what can they do? What can they do? Okay, Nato, do you have another topic that you'd like to throw out there?
I'll start off the one big one, because I know Ty doesn't like boxing. I'll save that one towards the end, so Ty and I can get into that. But this one involves a boxing guy and an MMA fighter. Conor McGregor and Mr. Floyd Mayweather, speculation is set aside. Floyd has come out and said it from his own mouth. We're talking, we're trying to get a fight going. I believe it's going to happen. Conor's tweeted he's going to fight Floyd Mayweather. This is the issue, and this is the problem that I see with this. One, I don't see how Dana White and the UFC allows this to happen while he's a UFC fighter. So either he gives up, retires, or does something with that belt that he no longer owns it to fight Floyd Mayweather, because it's not going to be in an MMA ring. We all know that. They're not going to make any money putting Mr. Floyd Mayweather in an MMA ring. It doesn't work. We all know that the money's not there for that to be the fight. It has to be in a boxing ring. The problem with this is it proves nothing as a boxer. It proves nothing as an MMA stand-up fighter or crossing whatever to get in the ring with Floyd, to get in the ring with Conor, vice versa. So there's no professional anything on the line. There couldn't be a belt on the line. There couldn't be anything other than pride and money. Now with Floyd coming out, reports of him offering Conor McGregor $50 million to fight him, and him saying, Mr. Floyd saying that I will step in the ring for nothing less than 9 figures guaranteed. To me, one, why are these guys so enthralled with fighting each other and no one from their own profession? One, and two, what is to be gained as a fan of either sport to watch these two get into the ring other than coughing up money for their pocket?
Okay, I really don't know what to say right now. I mean, my hands are up in the air about this Raptors team. As much as they did look good out of the gate, I don't think there's any surviving this for them to pull it out. I don't think so. I'm sorry. As much as I wanted to see my cousin try to do work, they have Norman sitting in a corner waiting for the ball to be passed from so he can shoot threes. The way Casey, he does more to shoot threes. I just want you to know that. He does more to shoot threes. Jesus. The other series is the get your popcorn ready situation where Golden State and Oklahoma City have split heading back to OKC this Sunday. Your thoughts on this series as everything is tied up. I'll come to you first on this one, Tommy.
Yeah, with what Nacho brought up, this McGregor, Floyd Mayweather thing, it's a joke. I mean, there's reports coming out that Dana White has talked to Nate Diaz to reschedule a rematch between McGregor. So who knows what that's going to happen. With what you brought up, Ty, OKC is going to have to win at least one game at home. Whenever the hell they play again. My goodness, it seems like the Heat never played before. Or not the Heat, the Cavs are playing again before they are.
Mm-hmm.
The hell they need 2-3 days off. Jesus, play tonight and get it over with. Stop dragging a series out. My God. This could go 6, but if it goes 7, Golden State's winning this series. If it goes 7.
Okay. Anything else before we get away from it now?
The whole Thunder situation, again, when cooler heads prevail and you actually listen to your elders on a sport that you very know a little bit about, you come to realize that the Thunder need to do exactly what, Todd and Royce were talking about yesterday on the crossover, which is get the two guys and Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook the ball. And have them shoot multiple times. But the issue with that is the role players do need to be effective. Even if those guys do go up and put 50-plus shots up together or 60-whatever together, and they're doing their part, those role players need to be effective. They need to hit their shots. They need to get those boards. And they need to not let guys like Andre Iguodala, guys like, any other Warriors bench players to come off and get started and catch fire and get any sort of semblance of consistency flow. One of the big parts I noticed from game one when I rewatched it was whenever one set, whether it be the starters or the bench or role players from the Warriors, would get on a roll and they would bring someone else in, the Thunder would make sure that person was not going to get the ball or get hot or continue that role and continue it on. It's when the players come off the bench, they come in, make a three, make two threes, go sit down, and it continues to flow that way from starter to, number 12 men on the bench. The Thunder need to realize that sometimes Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, they're just going to go off. They're going to shoot, like Boyd said last night, they're going to shoot and make 5, 6, 7, 8 threes consistently. You have to make sure that those guys that come off the bench don't continue that stretch, don't continue those what they call spurts, and keep it on a roll and consistently do what you have to do. So this is a series to me that I predicted Thunder in 6 a couple times. I did not anticipate them winning game one at all. So this throws a little wrench or a monkey wrench into my situation. I didn't see them playing as well and playing that unified until they got to their home court. So now, if my fruition comes to be, this could be done even sooner. But it's really just one of those things that the Thunder are clicking on all cylinders, and they need to get it all right and play for all four quarters. And when they come home, I think it's easier to do that at home for them I've been on the road.
Okay, like I said previously, I don't think the Warriors need to change anything. There's a couple of things that have to go right for the Thunder to at least win a game, let alone compete for the series. But right now, while Golden State was able to hang on to game two, I think that they finally found the recipe to get back and go, to get back at Oklahoma City. So this is a tough one for me. Believe me, if I was outside of the kitchen talking to y'all, I'd be extremely animated. But for Sports City purposes, I have to remain somewhat neutral. But this is one heck of a series that a lot of us wanted to see, whether it was the Warriors and the Spurs or the Warriors and the Thunder. We are getting our money's worth out of both of these series. Guard play, forward play, big men in the paint, you name it, they got it within this series. Okay, any other topic that you guys would like to address?
Yeah, Ty, I know me and you are big boxing heads. I know Tommy's walked away from it, but most recently we talked about Canelo Alvarez making, Amir Khan go night-night. And after that, Mr. Canelo's WBC title to remain that champion. There were deadlines handed down by WBC. However, in that process, Canelo has given up his title, and now there are no, deadlines, so to speak. The main story is this. WBC gives mandatories, they give deadlines, but if you're the champion, you honestly never have to adhere to those deadlines, and you never have to worry about those, especially if you're the quote-unquote big thing in boxing that everyone's going to come and fight. You just laid someone out on pay-per-view. You another guy. So it's just one of those things that there is no sense in the fact that you're giving up your title because you don't want deadlines and you don't want people pushing you. Now WBC has just handed that title, the green belt, to Mr. Gennady Golovkin, Mr. Triple G. He has won no fight to win this belt. So now he's pretty much, name it except for one. I'll get into that in a second. Middleweight title, I believe he has almost all of them. The big question is, does Canelo give up his belt really because he wants to fight Triple G under his terms? Or does he give up his belt because he's tired of paying sanctioning fees to fight for this belt and yada, yada, yada? And WBC's way of getting back at Canelo is just handing the belt to Triple G, and now that when he fights him, they will get a sanctioning fee from whoever wins the belt, because that belt will be up for grabs. Most likely, if not all of them. And then in the wake of that, you have the WBO middleweight title holder saying he'll fight Triple G. It's just a big mess in the whole boxing weight class, a middleweight division tie. But what comes down to brass tacks and what's really going on is Canelo giving up his title so he can fight under his own terms, WBC handing that title to Triple G, now making it they can fight whoever they want, whenever they want. Your thoughts on pretty much Canelo giving up the title and Triple G taking it, obviously, when somebody hands you something, to take it. But he knows in his heart of hearts he didn't beat anyone for that belt. If he was a true champion, do you think he still tries to fight Canelo?
Sports City, you may want to back away from the kitchen right now. Because in the words of a rapper named Bubba Sparks, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. I hate to be mean like this. I hate to, but I have to. I'll start with boxing itself. They are trying their best to keep these cash cows in position to make cash for them. You have a guy from the European era, area of the world, who has generated liking from that area outside of Klitschko, because let's be honest, after Klitschko lost to Fury, it's like, can he beat Fury again? Because when we see that fight go down, Fury's actually coming to these press conferences and things of that nature, out of shape, and looking like he is not ready to fight. It's like, come on. So he's really making a mockery, not only of Klitschko, but of the sport of boxing. Because we're going to end up having to hail a guy that not only is, you know, full of himself, but is, you know, confident that he could beat a guy that nobody could beat for 9 years. So, with Klitschko being out of the picture, that's one of their cash cows gone. Fury is not a big draw. I could care less if he beat Klitschko again. If he beat Klitschko again, do you think a lot of people will really sit up here in pay-per-view situations for Tyson Fury? Like, sit there. I'll wait. I highly doubt that. So, we have to look at the middle of the bunch where you have Andre Ward. They are trying their best to keep Ward and Golovkin away from each other. I don't know why. You have both of these guys calling each other out, but they won't make it happen. I'm not going to lie. I've been watching Ward ever since the storm of his career started. When he was undefeated, it was Andre Ward, Andre Durrell. I was trying to pay attention to both of those Andres. I was like, both of them are undefeated. Both of them are good fighters. Then Durrell ended up losing. It was Andre Ward. Andre Ward carried that torch as much as he could, right? So now you got him and Triple G. Triple G just came on this stage and made a big name for himself. I think, one, the draw of him not speaking good English, but knowing that this guy is one hell of a fighter, and I actually watched the way Triple G trains. If you watch how Triple G trains, then you'll see how he knocks dudes out. I'm going to just give the hint on how he knocks dudes out. If your head is the weight of a punching bag, then you can make it. He throws his power punches at the punching bag like that, and it moves in the facet of a head. So, you know, they won't put a fight in front of that guy that could potentially be a danger for him, which is Ward. Ward is the only guy I think that can actually beat him unless they make him move up even more, which would be outrageous for him to fight a guy like Kovalev. But that won't happen. It won't happen. So they're kind of keeping these guys distant. Now, I don't know if people actually saw this, but Triple G and Canelo are actually cool. These guys have actually got caught taking photos together and have a mutual respect for one another, right? Canelo comes after the fight, says, "Oh, I'll fight anybody anywhere. We don't F around it." He made sure that he cursed on air, and then now you give up a belt. I don't know any champion in any weight class giving up any belt at any given time. I could care less on how many sanctions they have to pay. Do you know how much money that Canelo made off of his last two or three fights? He's sitting somewhere comfortably over a couple $10 million in both of his fights. He could pay a couple $100,000. He's not blowing it on the whole Alvarez family. I mean, he can, but he's not that outrageous. I don't want to call him dumb, but come on, like literally, like, so you guys are going to keep these guys separate from not fighting. Then you're going to have him be a Triple G fight, another tomato can, where everybody could probably come to those venues and boo him. They know he's going to win. They know he's going to knock people out. Canelo fight another tomato can and boo him. And knowing that he can knock them out, why would you keep them away from each other? Why would you keep them away from each other is what baffles me right now. So I respect Canelo because I know Canelo is a big name, big guy for his weight class. But if you see these guys naturally next to each other, not only is Triple G bigger than him in size, he's has more muscle mass than him, and he's taller than Canelo. So I cannot picture Canelo being dominated not only in a boxing game, but also in a knockout game, too. Picture Canelo getting knocked out. Just picture that. So I know what the sport of boxing is up to. They're going to try and generate as much as they can out of these two before they make it happen right now. I don't know if you guys feel different. I'll throw this one back into the kitchen and see how you guys feel about it. Nacho, I'll let you stir the pot on it as well.
You know, to me, it just screams that both these guys have taken either one or two fights before they fight each other. I'm in agreement with you. I'm sorry I had to get off for a minute, so I couldn't hear the entirety of what you said. But I could get the gist. The fact that these guys are you know, kind of calling the shots, doing what they want, giving up things. Yeah, they're trying to protect their investment. The more money they can get, the better. Both these guys are going to be able to. The more fights these guys can get before they have to fight each other, the more money they'll get. The problem with this is, without a shadow of a doubt, a three-fight series Even if somebody comes in there and gets knocked out in the first round, you have to fight them again. To me, this is something that I think these guys can fight 2 to 3 times, depending on, you know, what the outcomes are. But I really do think these guys can split two and then have a deciding winner after three, and all three will have pretty good numbers as it pertains to pay-per-views, and they'll have some pretty good feedback when it comes to money. So in Vegas, will make some big money. So, yeah, I understand you can have those three, or you can have, you know, these next two fights against nobodies and then one against them. I just don't understand it. There are multiple fights you could have made by now in any division where you could have those guys fight 2 to 3 times and make boatloads of money in each pay-per-view, but it is much lucrative to have guys that are undefeated that have draws to fight tomato can. It just doesn't make any sense. To protect your cash cow, I get it, but when the entire boxing world, the entire boxing community, from the casual fan on up to the diehards, are calling for a boxing fight, just give it to them. That's it. Just give it to them. Just give us the fight, and that's it. We understand that this is a very, very corrupt, a very, very selfish and self-indulgent, you know, fight league, whatever you want to call it, you know, association. Give us this fight. And I guess some of us, who forget about the corruption a lot, will forget about it even more. But we definitely need to see Triple G and Canelo fight once, if not twice. Lord, let there be 3 times. I think they'll all be fabulous fights.
Who knows how this goes down? They are trying their best to make sure Ward jumps into deep waters before any of these guys. Now, what if Ward actually deals with the Crusher? You know what I'm saying? And Kovalev. Then what? Then what happens? Do they continue to keep him separate from everybody else in the boxing world right now? Or does Kovalev beat Ward and nobody else can deal with Kovalev? Kovalev goes out on top within his weight class as well? Because they're making these two guys clash at the top right now. Why can't it happen throughout boxing? Or we get to see a situation where we were to try to see Canelo fight another big name. What happened to the Canelo-Pacquiao fight? Why couldn't that go down? Why are they sitting on so much of Canelo fights where they want Canelo to dominate guys? Honestly, could you honestly really sit here, and I was actually talking it up because I wanted to talk it up like that. Could you honestly really think that Amir Khan can beat Canelo? Honest. Could you really sit here and think that? Like, I don't think so. So we see once he got hit, he didn't even try to get up. He's been knocked out with that same glass jaw that he had before. And he got up. He did not want, and then his excuse at the end of the fight was him taking the fight, so everybody else had to step up and take a fight. Come on. Come on. They know what they're doing at the end of the day. This is funny. This is absolutely funny. But we'll give it time to materialize, things of that nature. I like the Charlo twins. I like Errol Spence Jr. a ton. I love Errol Spence. I'm hoping that he can hang on to his success. The one-time Thurman and Porter fight that's going to go down, this is going to be an interesting fight. I can't wait to see that go down as well. But you got at least those two guys going at it. You got, who is it, Trout and one of the Charlo brothers going at it as well. Like you got these fights going on. Stop trying to sit on these guys and make sure that these guys are unbeaten forever. These guys have to take these losses one way or another. It's going to go down. It's going to go down. Danny Garcia ain't fighting nobody. What's up with Garcia? Why Garcia ain't fighting nobody? Come on. Look. Boxing. I love the sport. I ain't going to lie. I love to see a good fight. But come on now. Come on, I don't care if they stay at bay and stay away from the bomb punch. If they don't want to get knocked out, then so be it. Box then. Box, dude. Come on now. Come on. I don't know how long they want to sit pretty, especially you call Saul Alvarez's nickname is Canelo. They call him a bull. I ain't see a bull run from nobody. I seen a bull run for somebody. And it's not happening. All right, Nacho, I'll let you address that if you'd like to.
No, you said it perfectly.
Okay. And anything else before we start to wrap up here at the roundtable? I knew it would get ugly. I knew that, especially how I felt about that situation. I tried Sports City to try and get some leeway, even though Povetkin and his situation being caught out with a illegal substance, but a lot of people over there are using it, so it's legal there, but not legal in the boxing world. So we have to wait for him and Deontay. Hell, I'm just hoping Deontay could just stay in shape and get ready to fight Fury or Klitschko. Make it happen, because they both talking junk to him. I don't want to see him waste his time with Povetkin. Povetkin is already a good name. I already like him. But stop trying to put people in people's way so they can get beat somehow, somebody. No. Put them in front of the bull that could draw some money. Point blank, period. All right. We'll close up on that. I'll start off with you first, Mr. Beard. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the roundtable.
Good show. Glad to be back. Glad this throat held up for me. Glad you all had boxing. It gave me time to rest my throat. Hopefully this strep throat and everything goes away for me by Sunday. I did listen to Tuesday's show. I wanted to come in because Nacho was talking about the UFC, saying this, saying that, saying nobody's dominating their division. There actually is someone dominating their division. Mighty Mouse Dimitri Johnson is dominating the flyweight division. He has beaten everybody that Dana White has thrown in front of him except two. That he has not fight. Dimitri Johnson is a beast. He could be one of the best pound for pound besides John Jones. I still think John Jones is probably the best in the UFC, but Dimitri Johnson is up there too. Dimitri Johnson is a beast. I love watching him fight. There's a lot of people saying they don't like him. He's boring. He just gets people on the ground. He lays on them. If you really watch this guy fight, he's fast. He can actually hit harder than Floyd Mayweather can. Dimitri Johnson's a beast. So don't forget, don't think nobody's dominating Nacho. Dimitri Johnson is dominating that flyweight division.
David bringing up oldies. Let's work it. Hey, I like it. I like it, man. It's been hot in his kitchen, man. I think it's because summer's coming around. Summer's coming around. It's getting warm out here. It's getting warm in the kitchen as well. Mr. Silver, plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the roundtable. Oh, yes, and Tommy, get some lemon, honey, and tea, man. That citrus is the best. The honey helps, man. It helps. Go get that.
And Nacho in a Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It was a great show. Tommy, I didn't say that there was no dominating people. If you heard the whole show, I did say that Demetrius is the only one left that's still winning. The problem with that is no one's going to pay $59.99, $69.99 to watch him headline a pay-per-view event for UFC. It just doesn't happen. He's got a co-main event with a bigger weight class. It's just the way of the world. Yes, he's dominating. I believe it's the smallest, if not the second smallest weight class. I'm not saying anything about it. The guy is just amazing. You're right. I'm not doubting anything that Demetrius Johnson can do. He's been dominating that weight class for years upon years. The problem is when John Jones, before his octagon problems, Anderson Silva before broken knees, GSP before retirements, those guys were commanding $50, $60, $70 pay-per-view main events by themselves. They don't have that anymore. They don't have a guy or a girl that they can throw in with a championship belt that's going to command by themselves a $60 to $70 main event. It's not going to happen. They have to co-main event nowadays. That's the reason why we have a lot of these great events from pay-per-views, because they have to co-main event it, and then the undercards have to be contenders so they can make these pay-per-views that people are paying $60, $70 for worth watching. That's just the problem. They don't have that one guy or one girl they can main event like Rousey did before she got kicked in the face, like like GSP before he retired, like those people, they just don't have that anymore. Demetrius Johnson and all of his domination in that weight class just doesn't command the pay-per-view buys or the pay-per-view audience that a middleweight, that a light heavyweight, that a Ronda Rousey, that a Conor McGregor will command, did command before their downfalls or before their ventures off into stupidity for a one Irish fighter. To me, it's just that's their main key and that's their main problem. The Ultimate Fighter needs to produce someone that the crowd can get behind, that can just be dominant from the Ultimate Fighter and there on. Until that happens, they're going to have these big co-main eventers, which aren't a problem to me. They're not a problem to you. But when you have to wait so long, we've waited since now, which would be 97, for a really big pay-per-view. We have to wait till 200, and that's going to have a co-main event. Then we're going to have to wait all the way to November, and that's going to have a co-main event. That's the issue. We could be watching big-name pay-per-views almost every month like we were before in different weight classes. Now they got to combine the weight class championships and the co-main event so that they can sell their tickets. I think it would be more lucrative if they could have one main star or one main dominant in each division. Now, again, Demetrius Johnson, all due respect, that weight class is just never going to get the pay-per-view, you know, love that it really should. But I'm all for Demetrius Johnson. Again, I know he's one of the last few remaining guys that just can't be beat right now, but his weight class just doesn't dominate on pay-per-views and to the national audience as well as a middleweight class or a big heavyweight guy that we could see get knocked out from you know, at any moment. It's the same in boxing as well. So it's just the way of the world. Other than that, great Western Conference Finals games coming up Sunday. It's going to be amazing. Again, how long will the Cleveland Cavaliers have to wait to face the Western Conference foe? And you know, how beaten up will that Western Conference champion be after this series? Will it be, you know, the next three games and out? Will it be a seven-game series for either team? That's going to be the interesting part. Do you get a rested Cavaliers team going up against the beaten and bruised, whether it be Thunder or Warriors? Who knows? But I know we'll have a great show to talk about when that does happen. On that side, can't wait for Sunday, the brunch. You know, be awesome. Tommy, thanks for coming back. Hope you feel better. You know, get all that stuff for the throat healed up, and then we'll see you Sunday for the brunch. Yeah, great show, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, Sports City. Sports
I don't
City
pay that much for the pay-per-views. I go to Buffalo Wild Wings. It's cheaper.
Let me know when you're done, because it seems like every time I get ready to go, this is what's going to happen to me all the time.
Go ahead. I just wanted to know. I don't pay for the pay-per-views. I just go to Buffalo Wild Wings. It's cheaper.
Okay, fair enough. Do you have it all out? Is your plate clear?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm good, hopefully, till Sunday.
SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here Sunday. Sports City, I'm going to bring this topic up Sunday because my cousin just hit me up via Facebook in the inbox and said, Ty, why are you not talking about it? And I seen it yesterday. Didn't think it had legs, but my cousin said I needed to talk about it. So I will bring this up. Christian McCaffrey stating no love for the Caucasian athlete. I don't know why, but it is something that I need to talk about because I do like McCaffrey. He just broke a Barry Sanders record. Believe me, I'm mad because he broke Barry's record. So I got to pay respect because that's my boy. I love Barry. So I don't know why it's a race thing, but it's actually in reverse, and it's interesting. It is interesting because McCaffrey does deserve respect, at least from my perspective. But we will get into that because my cousin just hit me up because he's listening live. Shout out D. Shout out D. I know he wouldn't want me to say his full name, but I will say D's money. I know you listening to me. Thank you, cousin. I love you to death. But he told me I need to be talking about it. So Sunday I will be bringing that up, see how they feel about this one here in the kitchen. I'm not a drinker. I'll probably go out and have one or something. That'll be that. But be safe out there. Tomorrow is the national, you know, Notorious B.I.G. birthday day, so I'm going to pay homage to my boy, one of my favorite rappers of all time. on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Queensbridge, 41st side. Yeah. Yo, yo. I got no birth records, no next of kin. Know a lot of motherfuckers, got no best friends. Know the weather checking, 10-10 winds. AM, 1st and 15th, I'm laying at the check cashing. Think I'm playing, blinking, I'm spraying. Wrong move, ask yourself which leg you won't lose, cause you gon' lose. I cripple niggas, from the complex to simple niggas. Keep showing y'all what difficult is. Half the world saying dumb, but never been to the bridge. What type of shit is that? Fraudulence, what's the cause of it? Nature came through, erasing all of it. Stop the presses. Goofy niggas ask a lot of questions. I repeat, this is not a question. If he don't reply quick enough, I gotta press him. Keep the Glock body and test him. 38 waist with a belt. Regardless of your stats, you could catch a chef.
Believe me when I tell you this. Believe me when I tell you this. Nothing y'all can do for me. Nothing y'all can do for me. I don't believe in selfishness. This time I want my crew to eat. My crew. We coming through 100 strong. Coming through 100 strong. We coming with 100 miles. 100 miles. Pumping shit all summer long. Pump that. We want it then and want it now. We want it now.
Hey, yo, I rap for my niggas and rap for the hoes. Rap when I'm getting dressed. When I iron my clothes. Depressed. I kick raps that change your whole mood. And somehow stick to your ribs like soul food. Rap for wheelchairs. Rap for canes. Ace bandages and niggas with sprains. Stay limping in pain. I rap for math. English, even rap for science. Gotta try to laugh, keep myself from crying. I rap for Giants, the Jets, the Yankees, the Mets. It's New York, New York. From Clue to Flex, new cassettes, they popping up. Your boo let me throw my cock in them. Rapping got me two proper nuts, it's crazy. I even rap for my high school coach. White folks, cleaned out, liking Michael Dope. Cleaned out, dope stashing. For those asking, I flow for TV, HBO, and closed caps.
Believe me when I tell you this. Believe me when I tell you this. Nothing y'all can do for me. Nothing y'all can do for me. I don't believe in selfishness. This time I want my crew to eat. My crew. We coming through 100 strong. Coming through 100 strong. We coming with 100 miles. 100 miles. Bumping shit on come along. Pump that. We want it then.
Ayo.
We want it now. We want
Ayo.
It now.
Ayo. Ayo. Don't go to Texas. Don't go to Watts. Don't go to Queensbridge, nigga. Don't go to cops. Don't snitch when you're getting bagged. In the pens, don't bitch when you're getting stabbed. Just hold that. I pose for Kodak. Rose to stardom. Holding Harvard. Sophomores get knocked off. Nigga, watch yours. I watch the game like it's St. John's. It ain't wrong. Take a blank piece of paper, a pen. Paint songs, type colorful. Writing that shit a thug or two. In the heat of the moment, type to make a sudden move. Some a snooze, some a snore. They won't admit they're done as pure. Once I quit, niggas wanted more. Cop my shit once it come in store. The first week, we at the top of the charts. Got it jumping off. Hot verses with 100 thoughts. One theme, getting caught in my zone, you become a call.
Believe me when I tell you this. Believe me when I tell you this. Nothing y'all can do for me. Nothing y'all can do for me. I don't believe in selfishness. This time I want my crew to eat. My crew. We coming through 100 strong. Coming through 100 strong. We coming with 100 miles. 100 miles. Bumping shit all summer long. Pump that. We want it then and want it now. We want it now. Believe me when I tell you this. Believe me when I tell you this. Nothing y'all can do for me. Nothing y'all can do for me. I don't believe in selfishness. This time I